Parashas Matzah, Maaseh. Mitzvah Hashem, if time will allow, we'll have a look at something on Parashas Matzah and something very brief on Parashas Maaseh. There is a question which many of the Mefarshim al HaTorah, investigate in this week's parasha, because I think it's a very obvious question which everybody needs to ask. Klal Yisrael was sent to war against Midian. Why? Because Midian was the one who sent their Noshim to commit Znus, Avodah Zorah, with Klal Yisrael, and of course that precipitated a terrible Magefa. 24,000 of them died. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Mekoyim, Mikmas Yisrael, we've got to take vengeance on the part of Klal Yisrael. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu switched the instruction, Mekoyim, Mikmas Hashem, which we've spoken about in previous years. But either way, they go to do battle against Midian. They are highly successful, except that very surprisingly, when they come back, Vayiktsayf Moshe, Moshe becomes very angry. This is Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayiktsayf Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes very angry. Al Pukudei Hachayil, against the commanders of the army, and he says to them in Pasuk Tezvov, Hachayisem Kol Mekevo, you left the Noshim alive? You killed the men, and you left the Noshim alive, all the Nekevois? Hein Heino, Hoyu Levnei Yisrael, they were the ones who were the cause of the problem in the first place. Vidvar Bilam, Limsor Ma'al Bashem, Aldvar Po'or, Batia Magefa, there was a tremendous plague. So, how absurd is this? Asked Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't just ask the question, he became angry. It says, Vayiktsev, how can it be of all the people to have left, you leave behind the Nekevites? They were the root of the problem. Because they had come back with all the Noshim in captivity. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, makes no sense. They were the root of the problem. They should have been the first ones to be killed. So the Torah continues and he says, right, this is what you should do. Va'ata. And now. Hirgu kol zohar batof. V'chol isha yoida'as ish l'mishkav zohar haregu. What does that mean, isha yoida'as ish? So Rashi explains, he's quoting a Gemara, even if there's an Isha over here who wasn't actually involved in an Avera, but if she is able to be involved in Avera, she is of age, she also needs to be killed. V'choil hatap banoshim asher lo yodu mishkav zocho, then hachayu lachem. If it's a very young child of the Nekevos who not only was not involved, but actually could not have been involved, those you can let live. But all Noshim, whether they were involved or not, as long as they had the capacity to be over an Avera, they all have to be killed. So, what's the obvious question? The obvious question is, what were Klal Yisrael thinking? Isn't Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha an obvious kasha? This is the question of all the Mefarshim. Now, it's true. Under ordinary circumstances, what happens when Klal Yisrael wage war? So under ordinary circumstances, unless we're talking about the main seven nations, the Sheva Amamim, the halacha is that you don't kill the women. But here was different, surely. Because this wasn't a regular war. Surely this is a milchama, all about taking vengeance on behalf of Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And you would have thought that the first people who ought to be killed were the Noshim, who were the root of the problem in the first place. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha. So what were Klal Yisrael thinking? What were Klal Yisrael thinking? They must have had some cheshbon, albeit perhaps an incorrect cheshbon, as you see Moshe Rabbeinu became angry with them. But they must have had a cheshbon. What were they thinking? Why indeed did they leave the Nekevos alive? So this is a question that troubles a lot of the Mefarshim. I'd like to share with you a couple of approaches that I saw in the Mefarshei HaTorah. We do know, as the Kli Yoko points out, that there is actually a precedent to distinguish between Zohar and Nekeva. Where is that?
We all know it says that Lo Yovoy Amoini Umoyavi Bekal Hashem. Somebody from Amoin and Moav cannot join Klal Yisrael. Why not? Al Dvar Asher Lo Kidmu Oisom Balechem Ubamoyim. Because they did not greet Klal Yisrael with bread and water as they made their way through their land. And what does the Gemara darshan? But it's only the male version. Amoini V'loi Amoinis. Moavi V'loi Moavis. This was the drasha, we've discussed this in the past. This is a drasha made in the Gemara in Yevamos. Klal Yisrael knew that drasha. The question was, would that drasha perhaps apply over here as well? Maybe when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to kill Midian, maybe you should make the same drasha. Midian v'loy Midianis. So let's make a cheshbon over here. Says the Kli Yoko, it's true. The Noshim were the cause of the whole problem. They were the ones who were dispatched by Midian to commit Zinus with Klal Yisrael. Says the Kli Yoko, however, for that alone, they wouldn't have necessarily be mukhuyev to die, because they were sent. They didn't go of their own volition. It was the husbands who sent their wives. It was the fathers who sent their daughters. But they did not go berotzin. So therefore, says the Kli Yoko, that's why Klal Yisrael made this mistake. Because they thought they should be absolved. They were not willingly. They didn't willingly come to join Klal Yisrael to be over in Avera. They were sent there. So what are you going to tell me? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go and kill Midian. It's true. But we have a precedent. We've also been told, don't let Amoin and Moav in Klal Yisrael, and we make a drasha, only the male version and not the female version. Maybe that applies over here as well. After all, they were not the ones who decided on their own volition to cause a mishael to Klal Yisrael. That was their cheshbon. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? So why would they make a mistake? So here we arrive at a very important halacha. The Ramban quotes this halacha, other Rishonim quote this halacha, and that is that the Torah writes, for example, in Parshas Kedoshim, if a person is over an Avera with an animal, you have to kill the animal. Now why do you have to kill the animal? The animal didn't do any Avera. The animal doesn't have das. Why does the animal have to be killed? And the answer is not as a punishment, but rather as an embarrassment to whoever committed the Avera. As long as that animal is still running around, everybody will point to that animal. Oh, that's the animal that was involved with an Avera once with Klal Yisrael. So as to save embarrassment, the shame of Klal Yisrael, you put the animal to death as well. Not obviously as a punishment. The animal cannot be held liable for anything. But that shouldn't be a source of embarrassment, because the takola, because the whole disaster occurred through this animal, we do not want this animal around. Says the Kli Yoko, that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, you should have understood that were this milchama to be all about punishment, then maybe we could absolve the Noshim. After all, they were sent forcibly so, by their fathers, by their husbands. But this is not about punishment. The reason why you should kill the Noshim is because as long as those Noshim are running around, then they're like the behemoth of Parshas Kedoshim. We don't want any Isha to be running around if she was the cause of the Avera, whether willingly or not willingly. That would be a source of embarrassment to Klal Yisrael. Here's the Isha with whom an Avera was committed. So this is the approach of the Kli Yoko. What was the cheshbon of Klal Yisrael? They thought you could make a distinction between men and women, just as you see in Amon and Moav. The Kamash Malon, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're wrong. Because here they need to be put to death so as not to cause shame to Klal Yisrael. we do not want any Isha to be around if she ultimately was party to an Avera with Klal Yisrael. Now the interesting thing is, I saw exactly the same approach in the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh. The Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh also says that the mistake was made based on the assumption that surely they should be exempt from Misa because they were forced, they were sent by the fathers and husbands. But he explains the reason why this was a mistake, he explains a little bit differently. The Kliyokar explained that why is it a mistake? Because they should have learned. It's comparable to a behemoth. If a behemoth needs to be killed, the Yishon needs to be killed as well. Says the Ohr HaChaim, I'll tell you what the mistake was. A different approach. You know what the mistake was? The mistake was, it's true, with regard to the Avera of Znos, they were dispatched by the fathers, by the husbands, and they would not be held liable for that. But there was another Avera. What did Klal Yisrael, what did Chazal tell us? What did they take out of the pockets? Avodah Zarah, Baal Pa'er, and they got them to bow down to the Avodah Zarah. They were not forced to do that. So therefore they cannot be absolved. And the Ohr HaChaim says, that's really the words of the Apostle in Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hein, Hein, Ahoyud of Bnei Yisrael. What's the emphasis? They were the cause of the problem. Don't try and exempt them based on the fact that it was their fathers, it was their husbands who sent them. Hein, Hein, Ahoyud, they were the ones who caused the Mishrael, as the Apostle continues, Al Dvar Po'er. And therefore, they cannot possibly be considered non-liable for the Avera, because even if on the accounts of Znus, maybe they were forced, but they were certainly not forced to cause Klal Yisrael to sin with Avodah Zarah. To the contrary, Hein Heina, they were the ones who of their own volition took the Avodah Zarah out their pocket and said, bow down. So this is now our first approach, how we understand the Cheshbon of Klal Yisrael, albeit a mistaken Cheshbon. But why was it that they considered that the Menakevah should not be punished? So the Mahalach of the Kliyokah and the Ohr HaChaim is, just like Amon Moyel, we exempt the women, so too over here. After all, it wasn't their fault, they were forced. In similar vein, I saw in the Shemish Shmuel. The Shemish Shmuel says, let's try and work out for a moment, what was this milchama all about? Why exactly do they have to go and wage war against Klal Yisrael? Is it to seek the vengeance of Klal Yisrael? Or is it to seek the vengeance on the part of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? And maybe that's to do with what we said before. Whether it's Nekoim Nikmas Hashem or Nekoim Nikmas Yisrael. So the Shemi Shmuel says, the difference would be as follows. If the purpose of the Milchama is to seek the vengeance of Klal Yisrael, then you'd have to put the Noshim to death as well. Why? For the reason we just mentioned. Because if you're worried about the honor and the dignity of Klal Yisrael, then you cannot have the Noshim being let live. Why not? Because they were the cause of the Takara, and as long as they are alive, they are a continued and perpetual source of embarrassment for Klal Yisrael. So if this Milchama is all about Klal Yisrael's honor, then you've definitely got to kill the Nekeves as well. They should not be around as a source of shame for Klal Yisrael. If, however, this Milchama is all about the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning there was an Avera done against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well then we could exempt the Nekeves. Because maybe the Avera is not considered to be done on the part of the Noshin, just as you see, Amoin and Moyov, many, many cases, the women were absolved. So the Shemi Shmuel tells us, therefore, whether or not the Noshin need to be killed is really dependent on this basic question. What was the purpose of the Milchama? Was the purpose of the Milchama to seek the vengeance and to protect the dignity of Klal Yisrael, in which case the Nekeves have to be killed, or is it to protect the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Essentially, what was it really? essentially, the Kohen Nikmas Yisroel, this was to protect the dignity of Klal Yisroel. And that's why the Nekevos definitely should have been killed. But what did Klal Yisroel do? They said, no, we want to be Mechavan Hashem Shomai. We just want to protect the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't mind our dignity. We don't mind our shame. As far as we're concerned, this is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity. Oh, if this is a Melchama protecting the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well then the Nekevos can be left alive, as we mentioned before. They only need to be killed if you're protecting the dignity of Klal Yisrael. So what did Klal Yisrael say? It's not about us. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Says the Shein Shmuel, that's what it means when Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Heicholtzu me'itchem. Heicholtzu me'itchem literally means go and send soldiers from yourself. Says the Shein Shmuel, do you know what that's a hint to? Heicholtzu me'itchem. Strip yourself of any bias or cheshboinus. Don't be mechaber l'shem shomayim. Just listen to the tzivui. And if the tzivui is the kohen nikmas Yisrael, then you've got to go and kill the nekevos. So again, what was their cheshbon and what was their mistake? Their cheshbon was because they wanted to protect the dignity and the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's good enough to kill the zacharim. Their mistake was that this Muhammad was all about the kohen nikmas Yisrael. And if that's the case, then we have the issue of the behemoth. You've got to kill the animal, you've got to kill the noshim as well. In fact, and Rebbe Ezra will come to your question in a moment, in fact, later on in the parasha, in Perek, Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Nun, it says, Vanakrev es korban Hashem ish asher motza. They wanted to take the booty and give it to a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why so? So listen to the absolute ge'oinus of the Shein Shmuel. The halacha is, what happens in Klal Yisrael if somebody is put to death? For some misdemeanor that he's chayav nisa for. Who gets his property? Not talking about somebody who died of natural means, and obviously there's the normal parasha of the Yerusha. Somebody was killed, who was put to death because of an avera he committed. So there's two types of putting somebody to death. There's what's called Harugei Malchus, somebody who rebelled against the king, so he's put to death, as it were, by the king. And there's Harugei Bezdin, somebody who the Bezdin put to death for being over and over here. And the difference is, the Gemara tells us, Gemara in Sanhedrin, that if the king has to put them to death because they rebelled against the king, then who did the Nechosin go to? To the king. Meaning to the estate, to the estate of the king, the state. But if the Bezdin put somebody to death, then the Nechosin go to the Yerushim. Go to the children of the person who was put to death. Says the Shem Shmuel, utter goyness over here. If this is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, then it's like the loch of Harugei Malchus. So who do all the booty go to? Goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's about Klal Yisrael's honor, that's like Harugei Bezdin. So it goes to the Yerushim. So why did they want to sacrifice the booty as a korban? They wanted to give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because again, they wanted to demonstrate that as far as they were concerned, it's all about the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's about the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then this has the classification of Harugei Malchus. And that goes to the Melech. So they want to give all the booty to the king. Now, Rebbe Ezra, I had your question. In fact, just after Mara this evening, I asked Rabbi Romy Fisher. I showed him the Shem Yishmol. I said, I don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true, did initially say, Nekoim Nikmas Yisrael. So according to that, it's not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity, it's about Klal Yisrael's dignity. But for reasons that we're not going to discuss now, Moshe Rabbeinu changed the instruction. So what were the words that Klal Yisrael heard? They heard Nekoim Nikmas Hashem. So how can you criticize them for, you shouldn't have been making these cheshbayim is l'shem shamayim. It's all about Klal Yisrael's honor, and that was the instruction. It's true, that was the initial instruction. That's not the instruction they received. What was the instruction they received? Mekayim mikmas Hashem. So how can the Shem Shmuel say that Moshe Rabbeinu's criticism was, you should have obeyed the instruction without making a cheshbonis? But the instruction they received was indeed Mekayim mikmas Hashem. There's a bit of a difficulty that I have with the Shem Shmuel. My official wanted to answer up a teretz, but everybody can look it up there, the Shem Shmuel. It's in the year Tof Resh Ayin. It's 111 years ago that he wrote this piece. Finally, the Emes LeYaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecharino LeBrocha, points out that we see a very interesting phenomenon. We mentioned this before. Even those Noshim who are not actually involved in the Aveira, they have to be killed as well. How can that be? Where do you find such a concept that somebody who's not over in Aveira still has to get punished? How can that be? And the answer is, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, we do have one precedent, and where is that? In the Ir HaNidachas. What happens to the Ir HaNidachas? You have a town where most of the inhabitants have served Avodah Zorah, everybody gets wiped out, no questions asked. Those who were involved, those who are not involved, it makes no difference. Why is that? So the Rambam in Moirim Nebuchim explains, because this is not about punishment. If you are wiping out a nation based on a punishment, then we have to find out who's liable and who isn't. You can't possibly kill somebody who was not involved in the Aveira in the first place. But Ir HaNidachas is not about punishment. What is it? It's about Chilul Hashem. This town were involved in Chilul Hashem. It's not about punishment. And as long as this town exists, the Chilul Hashem continues, so it needs to be wiped out. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that was what was going on over here as well. Klal Yisrael thought that what was this all about? They thought that this was a regular, normal milchama. And in normal milchama, you leave the noshim. You leave the noshim. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not about a regular milchama. This is about a milchama for Kiddush Hashem. And it's just like Ir HaNidachas. And if it's just like Ir HaNidachas, then even those who are not involved, they need to be wiped out as well. I do still have a bit of a difficulty with this, because it does say, after all, that the young children are spared. In Ir HaNidachas, you don't spare anybody. That is a little bit of a question that I have. Although I did see, there's a Sefer Al HaTorah called Sifsei Koyim. This is not Shach Al HaTorah. And he writes a phenomenal thing. How many people of Klal Yisrael were killed in this battle? None at all. That's what the Torah says. Not one soldier was killed. Now let's just work out the mathematics. The Pasuk says they brought back the Noshim. How many? 32,000 of them. So clearly we're talking about a very big nation. They all got killed, and not one of Klal Yisrael got killed. An incredible list. Says the Sifsei Koyim, an unbelievable chidush. By virtue of the fact that the Noshim were brought back, that was a big Kiddush Hashem. Because that demonstrated to Klal Yisrael, look what a huge nation you're dealing with. So even though they didn't intend to make a Kiddush Hashem, that's for sure. But the fact that they were brought back was ultimately a Kiddush Hashem. Because Klal Yisrael see the masses, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Noshim. Which just goes to show what a mighty nation Midian were. And Klal Yisrael didn't lose one soldier in battle. Oh, for that Kiddush Halev, for that Kiddush Hashem itself, they deserve to be spared. A tremendous Kiddush. At least with regard to the children, the Sifsei Koyim says, those young children underneath the age of 3, of which there were tens of thousands, they were let alive. They were let spared. I don't know if that's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's intention is, but either way, Rabbi Yisrael, we seem to have different approaches over here to understand what the mistake of Klal Yisrael was, but on the other side of the coin, what was their cheshbon. And what we're learning over here is that there's an important principle that when an aveira is committed, one has to kill those who are involved, not necessarily for reasons of punishment, either to spare the shame of Klal Yisrael, or because of Kiddush Hashem, like Ir Ani Dachas, and that ultimately was Moshe Rabbeinu's question. And the reason why I got angry, because with all the cheshbonos in the world, but we cannot allow a woman to survive if she's going to be the source of shame for Klal Yisrael, or, as Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky put it, we cannot possibly allow them to be alive, because ultimately this is not a war of punishment, this is a war all about Kiddush Hashem. And when it comes to Kiddush Hashem, then there's nobody who is spared. Maybe just very briefly, tell you a beautiful story which is related to Parashas Maaseh. Because in Parashas Maaseh, we learn Ba'arichus, one of the many places in the Torah, at least three places, that we are taught the halachas of Ori Miklot. Ori Miklot, as we know, three cities, the Eber HaYarden, three in Eretz Yisrael, and those were the Ori Miklot. So I read the following story. In the times of the Chofetz Chaim, two people came to Radin, the town of the Chofetz Chaim, collecting money. One of them had traveled all the way from Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh, to Radin, a difficult trip, and he was collecting for yeshivas and kollelim and moistas HaTorah. There was somebody else who was collecting for an organization with very dubious intentions and with very controversial intentions. And yet the strange thing was that this second one had tremendous success. A few days he managed to collect all the sum he needed and he made his way back. And yet the first one who was collecting for a far more noble intention, to Mechazik Moses Atayra, he struggled. He struggled. How can that be? I would have thought the opposite should have been true. So he came to the Chofetz Chaim. And he asked the Chofetz Chaim, how can that be? We both came at the same time. Here I am, kvetching and draying and here and there and everywhere, and I'm not seeing much hatzlach. And this other person who's coming from some strange organization with not very Torah-dikah values and ashkafas, and yet tremendous hatzlach, in and out of it in a day. So the Chofetz Chaim said a phenomenal answer. Phenomenal answer. The Chofetz Chaim says, when they prepared Ori Miklot, so we know somebody who's just committed an act of murder. It wasn't the Mazir, but he's not the biggest tzaddik in the world either, otherwise he wouldn't have to go to Ori Miklot. It would all be a b'shegik. So how's he supposed to know how to get to Ori Miklot? He's running away. So how does he know?
Science.
Because there were signs. The Torah says, Tochi Lo Yiderech, that's the signpost. Everywhere you go, Ori Miklot, here, turn left, turn right, nobody would ever get lost. It's the easiest thing in the world to find Ori Miklot. One moment, asked the Chofetz Chaim. They were not the only travelers in Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael traveled to Yerushalayim three times a year. To Yerushalayim. It doesn't say anywhere that for those being Oyla Regel, you have to have signposts. Presumably, people got lost on the way to Yerushalayim. Why is there no signposts? We're trying to help the murderers? I would have thought the opposite is true. Says the Chofetz Chaim, this is the aside. If you have somebody as a murderer, the least contact that we will have with other people, the better. He didn't commit it. Amazed, it's true. Oh, but he's not the Velt Tzaddik. We don't really want a mass murderer or even a part-time murderer draying around. The last thing we need is him getting lost here, then getting lost there. We want minimal contact between him and other people. So we're very, very keen that we should have signposts. Get into the Ori Miklot as quickly as we can. But those being Oyla Regel, to the contrary, the more contact they have with others, the better. If they end up lost in some town and lost elsewhere and here, there and everywhere, wonderful. People will say, what are you looking for? Oyla Regel. They start talking to them about it. Oh, maybe the mechazik other people to be Oyla Regel. We don't want the murderer to start being mechazik other people to become murderers. So therefore we have signposts directing them, get to Ori Miklot, the quicker the better. But the people be oile regel. To the contrary, the slower the better. We're more than happy for them to get lost, as it were, to have maximum contact with those around them. So the Chofetz Chaim says that's the difference between you two. The one who came for this organization of dubious means, the last thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him is to be roaming around the streets of Radin too long, planting ideas in people's minds of strange anti-Torah hashkofas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him atzlocha and dispatched him home. But you're collecting for Moistus HaTorah. Oh, collecting for Moistus HaTorah, so it doesn't go easy then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you going from house to house, street to street, to be talking about yeshivas and kleilalim and Moistus HaTorah, and to be mechazed in, and the longer the better. It's not a punishment, chas v'sholom. So I read in similar vein that Eli Lapian, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, also once went collecting for yeshiva that was very difficult financial straits, and he was very upset that he'd been dispatched all the way from his home. And obviously, as any fundraiser knows, the more time you spend fundraising, the less time you have to learn Torah. So he came to the Chofetz Chaim and he says, you know, why is this? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow the Moistus HaTorah to be struggling? And then those like myself have to go running from door to door collecting funds. I can't learn Torah. So the Chofetz Chaim says, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. And it says, Teref Nosan Lireyov. Teref literally means food. Lireyov, to those who fear him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives food to those who fear him. Yizkor La'olam Briso, they will forever remember his bris. But interestingly, Chazal make a drasha over here. Teref is the word tiruf. What does tiruf mean? Tiruf, madness or difficulty. Teref nosan lireyov, tiruf nosan lireyov. Those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes have a difficult life, a difficult time. Why? So Chofetz Chaim explained, of course, the tachlis of the whole world is the Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately wants the teref, as it were, quote unquote, for the yeshiva to come by through tiruf. Because those collecting funds for the Torah, yes, they have to go from town to town, from neighborhood to neighborhood, from door to door. Why is that? In order, leman yizkor la'olam briso, that everybody should know about Moistus HaTorah. Imagine if you just landed in town, you got your $10 million check and you came back. Nobody would ever know you here. Nobody would ever know about the importance of Olam HaYeshivas, the Olam HaTorah. So Teref Nosan Lireyov is Tiruf Nosan Lireyov. And that's the same story as the Chofetz Chaim was telling this other collector as well. If you go collecting for Moistus HaTorah or for any other stocker mission which has noble kavanos and hashkafas HaTorah, then don't expect it to go easily. Don't expect it to go quickly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quite keen for you to take your time, because that way it will mechazek other people to know about the Moistus HaTorah. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not put signposts for those being Oile Regel, although he did, for those being exiled to the Ori Miklat. So wish everybody here a good Shabbos and a Shabbos Chazak.